In this episode of The Zoologist's Campfire, I have the opportunity to speak with Dr. Anthony Harrell. Anthony is a permanent researcher at the French CNRS, and he works at the Muséum National d'Histoire Naturelle in Paris, where he heads the Fun Evil group. The Fun in Evil, by the way, stands for functional. He is also associated with the universities of Ghent and Antwerp in Belgium and Bern in Switzerland. And whenever I try to email him, I always get a reply from some exotic corner of the world. So suffice it to say that Anthony moves around a lot. In all these places, he studies the evolution of complex and integrated musculoskeletal systems. He has published more than 500 scientific articles and many books on a range of organisms, from fruit flies, fish, snakes, turtles, birds, cuttlefish, to various mammals like primates, rodents, bats. But his favorite subjects are lizards. Anthony, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you finally in front of the camera. Just trying to get a hold of you. You were in the US, you were in French Guiana, and you're always moving around.
Absolutely.
And you're chasing lizards again, I imagine.
Chasing lizards, working on mammals, doing dissections. Yeah, many different reasons to go, different places. Filming salamanders recently as well. So.
Oh, salamanders. Where were you?
We were in the United States with a colleague of mine, Ron Bonnet, to film cave salamanders from the Ozarks. And so, like, really cool.
Yes. Oh, awesome. Oh, you also have hellbenders there, right? In the Ozarks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So, plenty to choose from, I imagine, with adventures. Where will you take us first? Which stories did you have in mind?
So for my first story, which I think is still probably one of my favorite stories, about kind of the field and the kind of adventures in the field, took place in Gabon.
Oh, nice place to go.
So I was lucky enough, a long time ago, I think we went in 2000, so 24 mm-hmm. years ago, with a colleague of mine, Dominique Adrians, from the University of Ghent. We had organized an expedition to Gabon. He had some contacts there to find fish, catfish.
Okay.
And he was very interested in the evolution of these really elongate catfish that are different from your typical catfish. And so these things actually go on land. We had some interesting results off of the studies where we see these animals actually capturing prey on land. And so this became a little highlight of that study. However, to get the fish, which were not available in any aquarium trade, we had to go to the field and actually find them.
Yeah, I imagine if you have them in an aquarium and they can go on land, that's a bad combination.
Yes, but it was a really cool kind of discovery that way.
Yes.
So we finally make it out to Gabon, direct flight from through Paris to Gabon. So we get there. First thing we have to do is get a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And we were lucky enough that our American colleagues were friendly enough to allow us to use their vehicle, for which we had to get insurance and everything. So we spent a day or two getting everything organized before heading all the way north in Gabon, close to the Cameroonian border, in a village called Makoku.
This is seriously middle of Africa, as tropical as it gets.
Middle of Africa, tropical rainforests. I mean, it is one of the most remote places I think I've been. Really far from everything. And people there are incredibly friendly. But most of the villages we were had rarely or ever seen a white person like me. Mm. So this was kind of a very unusual kind of scenario.
Yeah.
So before we were able to get out into the field, we're driving around town, pick up the vehicle, get the insurance, everything ready. And of course, we get stopped by the local cops. We just followed everybody else doing a left turn at an intersection. But of course, we were not allowed to do this kind of left turn to the intersection. And after a lot of hassling, Dominique talks to the cop and he says, like, The cop had said, like, okay, we're going to confiscate your vehicle. You can't leave to the field and everything. And so Dominique says, like,
Oh.
okay, so do we have to pay a fine? And the guy was like, yes, you have to pay a fine. And Dominique says, can we pay the fine right now? And
Yeah.
he said, sure, 300 CFA. And so that was done with, over with. We were relieved that we could actually just pay a little bribe and head off
Yeah.
to the next morning. And so this is also part of doing field work in different areas where you get confronted with different kind of types of the way administration works.
Yes.
So we make it out to the field, and we're very lucky. We actually get our catfish. So we go all the way north to Makoko, then we go all the way east to Gabon to Oyam to find different species of these kind of catfish of different.
And you do this, you bring nets and you just walk into the
So we
river.
bring nets. We try to catch them ourselves. Obviously, we have no luck whatsoever. So we go to villages. We ask local people to help us. And the fishermen, local fishermen, are very good. They know these animals. But of course, because these villages are extremely isolated, so we learned the local word for these fish. Like in Makoko, it was Ndaga. We moved like 20 kilometers further, and then the name changed, and nobody knew what we were talking about. So we had pictures of the fish, and then we showed people, and they obviously recognized them. And they're very good at showing us and helping us capture these fish. We also captured a whole suite of other fish, a bunch of more myriad fish, which are really interesting, that live
Yeah,
there.
with the long nose and
Yeah,
the electric organs. Yeah.
exactly. So it was a very interesting trip. We got to see a lot of the local wildlife as well. We ate a lot of bush meat. Some of which I preferred not to eat, but I mean, you have no choice. One of the villages, one of the local guys came up to us with a bucket full of like caterpillars, which was considered a local snack,
Lovely. Yeah.
which of course we had to try. And so that was also part of the experience.
is that the weirdest thing you've eaten?
I've eaten a lot of weird things. I'm always happy to try things once. The problem with these caterpillars was that they were urticating, so it's not pleasant. So after one, I said, no, thank you. I will leave the delicious caterpillars. But yeah, so a lot of interesting things. We got to catfish. We have live animals with us that we're going to go and take back to Belgium. And on our way back, we drive from Franceville, which is in the savannah area in the southeast of Gabon. And of course, there's no hard roads. It's all like dirt roads. It's all hard getting through. We have our fish. We're really happy. And so we drive to the Lopé Reserve. And the Lopé is one of the biggest national parks in Gabon, which is an amazing diversity. It's a really great place to see gorillas, chimpanzees, forest elephants, and all kinds of other things. And so we're like happy. We take a break and we're like, we're going to go with a guide into the forest and see some of this diversity. And so we're in the forest, and we're like looking for animals. And all of a sudden, our guide is like, oh, look, elephants. And so there's a forest elephant, like maybe, I mean, probably, I'm getting old, so my memory is not that good anymore. But I would say the elephant was maybe 5 to 10 meters away from us, pretty close in the
That's
forest.
very close, yeah.
But we could see it really well. And so we're taking pictures and we're taking some film. I had a video camera. And so we're really like excited about this. And all of a sudden, our guides, he used to be a hunter, actually. And so a lot of the hunters converted to guides to become eco-tourism and get extra income. And so he's like, oh, there's a little elephant with it. So we see the
Oh
baby
dear.
elephant next to the mother. And so we could see that the guide was starting to get a little anxious and nervous. And so he kind of looks at us and he's like looking at the elephant. He looks at us. And the elephant all of a sudden starts to bring the ears forward.
Oh, okay, right.
She starts to trumpet, which is an amazing sound. If you've never experienced it close up, it's pretty impressive.
I can imagine,
And our
yeah.
guide looks at us. And so there's me, Dominique, one of Dominique's former PhD students, and a guy from the capital, from Libreville, from the Office of Fisheries, who'd never been in the forest before. There's four of us there and the guide. And the guide said, "Quand je dis cours," when I say run, and he starts running. And the moment he starts running, the elephant is charging us.
Oh.
And so we're on foot in the middle of the rainforest with a guide running away as fast as he can.
Nice.
And so we're just basically running after the guide as fast as we can.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, people that haven't been in like tropical Central African rainforest, it's probably the densest rainforest with the most undergrowth that
Oh,
you ever see.
so you can't run really.
So the only thing you can do is follow an elephant trail. And so the guide is on an elephant trail and he follows the elephant trail, and we just kind of follow the guide. And it what feels like forever, we run, and all of a sudden our guide stops. And so we all stop and we look around and somebody's missing.
Oh.
Dominique is no longer there.
Oh God. Yeah.
And so the guide is like, "Oh man, where is your friend Dominique?" and everything. And so we're like, "Yeah, we don't know. We thought we were all here." And he's like, "Yeah, I mean, it's going to be complicated because it's very dangerous. If he starts walking into the forest, the guide is like, I may never find him again. Like, this is like serious." And so we're debating for a little bit and maybe 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, we hear a tiny sound. And the elephant is like 2 meters away from us and charges again.
Oh
So we run literally for our lives.
Yeah, obviously.
And it's probably the only time that I thought, okay, I'm gonna die. It's okay. It's fine. An amazing way to die, anyways.
It is, yeah.
And again, like this is non-negligible. There are a lot of accidents with elephants in Africa, and a lot, unfortunately, quite a few herpetologists have been killed by elephants in the past 10 years. So it does happen. So we run as fast as we can. We follow our guide. And so we run, 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 run until we get to a river. We jump in the river, we cross the river, we swim across to the other side. And then the guide is like, "Okay, so the elephant is not going to follow us because if she crosses the river, she's too far away from her baby."
I see, yeah.
And so we're safe here. And so we're still having the problem that Dominique is gone.
Yes.
And so the guide is like, "I have to go back as soon as possible, find Dominique. Because again, if he moves, I'm never going to find him again. Like we're a significant distance away from where we initially saw the elephant." And so the guide is like, "Okay, guys, you just stay here." And he's like, "If there's another elephant coming," and we're all like, "No." There's like these big trees with these big root systems. He's like,
Yeah.
"You crawl in between the roots. The elephants can't get to you. They will stay around for 24, 48 hours, but just wait, they will go away." And
Wow.
as he walks away back across the river, he's like, "Just be careful with the poisonous snakes."
Yeah, of course. I'll go for that.
And so we were really, I mean, we never experienced anything like this. Even I had never experienced anything like this before. So we're like on edge, like pretty much.
Yeah, and you could have lost your friend back there. I
Yep.
mean.
And so the guide is going back finding Dominique. And so we're waiting there, waiting there, waiting there. Like the PhD student Stan, who was with us, like he was not happy. That was the last time he ever did field work in Gabon.
Wow.
He did not go back. Our guide from the capital, he was also not happy because this is not what he signed up for. But we have to wait. We have no way to get out of the forest, so we just wait. And so it's funny because you see me filming, I'm filming some frogs. And all of a
Okay.
sudden there's a big fruit falling, which makes noise, and you can see my camera jump up. Clearly, I'm also not relaxed. I'm not at ease. And so, like 25, 30, maybe 40 minutes later, the guide comes back and he had found Dominique.
Okay, thank
And
you. Well,
Dominique,
yes.
fortunately, had the instinct. So he thought that he saw the guide say, like, make a movement, like, go to the right. And he followed a little trail. The good thing is the elephant actually followed us, the three of us, and not Dominique. And
Yeah.
Dominique, he didn't see us anymore, didn't hear the elephant. He stopped and he climbed a small tree.
Good idea.
And he waited in the tree and started singing Arno songs, the Fille du bord du mer, which was the song we had been playing on the radio for a long time. And actually, the guide heard him and so found him and actually was able to retrieve them.
Yes, because people underestimate how easy you can get lost in a forest with a thick undergrowth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there was
Yeah.
no GPS at the time. So there is no way. And even with GPS, I mean, I have another story from Kenya where we got lost on a mountain
Oh.
because we couldn't get GPS reception because the canopy was so thick. Even on top of the mountain, we had zero GPS
Oh, very
reception.
frustrating, yeah.
Frustrating. And then we almost fell off a cliff. But I mean, it's another story.
I know Dominique, so I knew he survived, but oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then we had to get out of the forest. And so the guide is like, okay, there's two options. Or we can take the long way around, or we can take the shortcut and just get out of the forest. So I think all of us, we had enough of our little forest experience. So we said, okay, let's take the forest shortcut. And
Yeah.
so we walk into the forest, and all of a sudden we come across some gorilla nests, fresh.
Ooh.
And so the guide is like, oh, gorilla nests. Do you guys want to go find the gorillas? And we're all like, no. A bit much, too much emotion for one day. And the guide is like, oh, but the gorillas won't kill you. They will just stop right in front of you. Just don't. And so we're just kind of like, no, let's just go back.
Can we first play, change our underwear, please? Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much. So it was a very kind of, but it was super cool to see these gorilla nests and everything. And
But you didn't see any gorillas.
we didn't see the gorillas. And then like an hour later, we had to cross a salt lake where
Oh,
there's
yeah.
a lot of elephants. There's actually like a BBC documentary where they're filming elephants in Gabon, and it's exactly at this salt lake.
Right.
And if you look at the making of that documentary, you'll see one of the cameramen up in a tree with the elephants like staying around him for like a long time
Oh,
because they're
yeah.
not happy.
They are deadly. I mean, they look cute, but yeah.
And so, fortunately for us, no elephants at the Salt Lake. And so, we're actually be able to get out of the forest and back to camp. And then, so
Phew.
ultimately, the
Yeah.
guide also said, like, okay, Dominique, really smart move to stay put and climb a tree. But if the elephant, and so this is something that the guide told us, I don't know, I've never verified this information. But he said, like, if the elephant would have found you, he would have either pushed over the tree and killed you. And this is his experience as an ex-hunter.
Yeah.
For him, he said the most dangerous animal in the forest was actually the elephant. Because as a hunter, if you don't kill the elephant will kill you.
Yes, I
This
understand
was
that. Yeah.
kind of his kind of take on like how dangerous these elephants can be. And he said if the elephant can't push over the tree, it will actually regurgitate stomach acid and spray it at you.
Really? I've
Which
never heard that one.
I've never heard that before. So, is it an urban legend or a forest legend? Or is it true? I have no idea. But again, this is something that
That would be awesome to find
our
out.
guide told us,
Yeah. Well,
which.
not find out re really physically, but I mean.
Yeah, no, thank you. But what he said is like, yeah, they will spray acid at you, you will fall out of the tree, and they will kill you, anyways.
Wow.
That was basically
Well,
his
I
take
mean,
on elephants in the forest.
well, okay, that's a hair-raising story right off
Yeah,
the
so again, so it made me realize one thing is that if you do field work in these kind of places, you don't want to take people to the field that are not fit and capable to run because at
man.
some point, there can be situations where it actually, like I literally thought I was running for my life,
Yeah, you were.
and it was a
Yeah.
dangerous situation, you know.
Probably if you tripped somewhere in the undergrowth, that would have been the end. Wow. Oh,
Yeah, so this
amazing.
is part of doing field work in remote places.
Yeah, but it's an amazing story. And I've never been to Cameroon or Gabon, but it must be a treat for you as a biologist, right? To
They're amazing places. I mean, the people are wonderful. But again, like in some cases, and this maybe leads me to another story,
Go ahead, go
the
right
most
ahead.
dangerous thing is the people. Because
Really?
on another trip, we're actually in Cameroon. And so
Okay.
in Cameroon, more the west side of Cameroon, close to the border with Nigeria, we were there to look for a small itty bitty frog, Xenopus.
Ah.
And so our goal was to find Xenopus tropicalis, which is a model system used in biology.
Yes.
The problem is that all the lab Xenopus have zero genetic diversity because they're all derived from a single stock which has been bred and inbred for 40, 50 years. And so we wanted to do this project with a colleague of mine, Camille, to look at selection on traits and see how this takes place. So we needed folks with genetic diversity. So we had colleagues in Cameroon that were nice enough to take us to the field. Really good collaboration, colleague from Buea, a colleague from Yaoundé. So we have a car with a driver. And so they take us to the field. But first, we go to a site close to the border with Gabon in the southeast of Cameroon. We catch some frogs, and clearly they're not the right species, not tropicalis. So we go the other direction, more towards the border with Nigeria.
Okay, that's really the edge of the country,
Yeah, and
northwest.
it's a known dangerous area because there's lots of pirates going across the border. It's also one of the areas where you can find Goliath frogs, the biggest frogs in the world. So I was excited about this. I was excited to be able to maybe potentially also see these frogs. And you also have the hairy frogs, Trichobetrachus,
Beautiful, beautiful.
that live in that same area. So a really interesting biodiversity, amazing colleagues. And so we head out to the field to find these animals. And so we're looking and we're looking. And so in every kind of forest pond that we come, we look for frogs. I clear out a bunch of ponds trying to find frogs. We find tadpoles, not the right species. And we continue looking and we go to a bunch of villages asking them about frogs. And of course, the first thing they always talk about is Trichobetrachus, the hair frog, or Goliath frogs, because most scientists until that time had been looking for these big frogs. And of course, in these villages, just like we did in Gabon, like if people bring us stuff, we pay them for their efforts. So you set up a little like a village market, more or less. And so typically what you do is like in these villages, together with our colleagues from Cameroon, we'd go and find the village chief. Offer the village chief a bottle of whiskey or whatever. And then he assigns a couple of people that go with you to the field and try to find the species you're looking for. Fish, frogs, lizards, whatever. And usually it's a system that works really well. And so we've been successful in doing this. And this is also what our Cameroonian colleagues suggested to do as we get to the villages. And so at some point we get to a village, and the chief is not there. No big deal. It's a small village. We talk to some people. They hear that we're looking for frogs, and our colleagues say, like, yeah, if we can find these frogs, we're willing to pay you guys some money. Very normal thing that we do all the time.
For our efforts,
And so we start explaining, we're looking for frogs, and they're immediately like, oh yeah, the big frogs. And they take us to a big river. And they show us and actually was able to see one of these Goliath frogs,
Oh, yeah,
which was
awesome.
amazing. So there was like this big river with some like cascades, like some waterfalls. And then there was like one of these big frogs. But as soon as you get 20 meters from it, because people eat them locally, very afraid of people, and they jumped into the water. But we still got to see it, so which was that was quite amazing. Then we talked to the people. We're like, no, that's not what we want. We want these little itty bitty frogs. And so we had a picture also. We showed them pictures, and then all of a sudden, this really old dude from the village, he's like, oh, I know what you're looking for. And he's like, do they make this sound like cluck, 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 like this really like ticking sounds? And I'm like, yeah, that's it. He actually knows what we're looking for, because the Xenopus, they call on the water. And so they have this kind of really bizarre kind of call, different from any other frog. And so clearly, we had somebody that knew what we were looking for. And so we get excited. We're like, yeah, this is what we want. Where can we find them? And he takes us to a pond in the middle of the village. We take a basket. So they make these wicker baskets. We take out one scoop, and there's the frogs that we want. We're all excited. We're like, yeah, we got our frogs. And all of a sudden, like a whole bunch of people started crowding us. A whole bunch of people start crowding us. The village chief was not there, and most of the men in the village were completely drunk. And so they start arguing amongst themselves who's going to catch the frogs for us and who's going to get ultimately the money.
Yeah, I see. Oh dear.
No village chief, so nobody to basically assign people to different tasks, which usually works really well. And so we're waiting a little bit. We're like, yeah, no, this older man who knew where the frogs were, like, I mean, well, he's clearly the one that knows, and so he's the one that. And then some younger guys got like excited, and then people start
Oh dear.
talking, people start shouting, and
Oh
all of a
dear.
sudden somebody pulls out a machete.
Oh
And
no.
so our Cameroonian colleagues are like whispering in my ear. So me and my colleague Camille, he's like, Anthony, go to the car very quietly. And so we go to the car, the driver starts the car. And then all of a sudden, we see our two Cameroonian colleagues running to the car with a bunch of people with machetes running behind them.
Jeez.
And so they get into the car and we take off as fast as we could.
Yeah, obviously.
And so this is an instance of doing field work where the danger is not the animals in the forest. But like again, 99% of the time things go really well and people are super friendly, but
Yeah, but sometimes, yeah.
sometimes it could be a little iffy. And again, like, yeah, people with machetes are
Oh,
not my
no,
kind of thing.
that's not
It's
what you want to
actually.
see. Drunk people with machetes running after you in a place in Africa where they will never find you again if they
Exactly.
succeed in catching you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we left without our phones.
Yeah. Did you find him in the end or
So what we did is we went back to the larger town close by. We discussed it a little bit, and then my colleagues are like, "Okay, we're gonna go back tomorrow or the 2 days later," in the hope that the village chief was there.
Yeah.
He's like, "You wild guys stay, because clearly you're
Yeah.
associated with the money." And so they went back and talked to the village chief. The village chief appointed some people, and everything went smoothly. And so our colleagues brought us back over 100 frogs, actually,
Wow. Okay,
that we then
perfect.
took back to the lab. And I still have some of these frogs here in the lab right now.
How old are
So
they? How long ago was
that
that?
was 2009. So they are 15 years old,
And still doing well.
and they're still doing fine.
Oh,
So we ultimately we got our frogs. Turns out, like once we sequenced the frogs, that it was not the species we're looking for. For a long time, morphologically,
no.
we thought it was Tropicalis. Turns out it's Allofrasiae. It's a very morphologically similar species, very interesting, but not the frog we originally thought we had.
You
So,
almost lost some limbs over that one.
yeah.
Oh no, I mean what, yeah, I fortunately nobody's been after me with machetes, but I have had rocks thrown at my head several times. Yeah,
Yeah,
if you
rocks
go around
are
at
pretty
night,
calming.
people and you surprise people, they respond however they respond, right?
Yeah, rocks, guns. I mean, that's a pretty common
yeah
occurrence
yeah
in
yeah
most places,
guns
especially
as
in
well.
Texas. I mean, like one time we were catching lizards and we had Fish and Wildlife, had Border Patrol, we had the local cops, we had like one other agency, four
Wow.
agencies, because we were on a dry riverbed, which we thought was public land, but they told us 99% of Texas is private, boy. So
Oh.
they did
Yeah.
press charges, but still, it was quite the experience also.
Yeah. That and in the US is always immediately guns. I mean,
Absolutely.
give me a rock anytime.
Yes, I agree.
But not a machete.
Yeah, no. So again, like sometimes.
Yeah, but most of the time, as you say, the experience is very nice. You get invited, the people tell you stories,
Absolutely,
and
absolutely,
yeah.
absolutely. 99% of the time, people are super nice.
Yeah, but those are not the big stories where you run for your life again.
Yeah,
Awesome.
if you want, I can tell a final story.
Yeah, please. Yes.
Again, like it's just kind of a funny story also, where we're in South Africa.
South Africa this time.
Yep,
Ah,
this time
lovely
South
country.
Africa. We're not too far from Kruger, working in one of these private game reserves. This one, I think, if I remember correctly, was owned by the De Beers, the mining company. And they were very friendly. They let us use the reserve to do our research, very accommodating, so we could use the accommodation there, which typically people pay lots of money for. And so we're in this reserve, and it's a beautiful place. We're looking for lizards on this project, mostly the surtid lizards that we're looking for.
Oh, yeah, African lizard. It's very
Yeah,
exciting. Yeah.
really interesting animals. So again, most of the time we're noses on the ground. Like another trip, like we're noses on the ground. One of the guys is like, "Hey guys, look up!" And there's like four rhinos in front of us. And so we're downwind, so all is fine. No big deal, but
Okay.
you kind of have to kind of pay attention.
Yeah. That's the thing about catching small things. There could be big things watching you at the same time.
So one time in Kruger, also, it's not the story I'm going to tell, but it's like we have a guide with us with a rifle because we're in a reserve close to Kruger, where they put all the problem elephants.
Oh.
So the single males that are a bit like annoying, and so we, the guy's with us in the jeep, and we drive to this place, the type locality for one of the Nucra species that we're looking for.
Yeah. Lizards. Yeah.
Yep, one of the little lizards, but it hadn't been seen for a long time. And we're like, oh, let's go to the type locality, see if we can find it. And so we get to the type locality, and ask the guy with the guns, like, oh, is it okay if we keep out? He's like, yeah. And I opened the back door of the 4x4, and there's like a rhino and three lions sitting right in front of me.
How can he say it's all right?
He didn't look. He looked in front, not in the back.
So they've been following your car?
No, they just back by happenstance. They were just there. And so I looked at the guy and I'm like, "Are you sure?" And he looks back. He's like, "No, close it." So yeah, well, I mean, this is part of like, so even if you have somebody with a rifle with you, and it's good to pay attention and not.
It is animals.
On this other trip, like we're at the end of the day, we've been looking for lizards, and there's this kind of watering hole where there's hippos, and of course we pay particular attention to hippos. But hippos can be quite dangerous,
Dangerous, yeah.
and especially from between them and the water, they will actually nothing will stop them when they go back to the water. So we're pretty careful. We walk around, we pay attention. Don't see any hippos for now, but there's a little hill right next to the water, and so we're like, oh, let's go to the top of the hill. And just watch the sunset. I mean, this is also part of doing field work, is you enjoy the scenery, and
Sure.
after a long day of work, like, okay, let's go do that. And so we start to, there's about five of us, I think. And so we start climbing the hill. I'm in front. And all of a sudden, we hear this lion roar, but my body is reverberating.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
And it's an amazing sound. It's like amazing. And one of the students who's with us, she looks down in the valley, like down low, and there's a lion there. And so everybody's looking at the lion. It's like, whoa, the lion just roared. It's amazing, the sound. But little did people know that I was in front, and the lion that roared was actually maybe 5 meters away from me, just up the hill. And so whether he roared at the lion down, it's a male, so or whether we were getting too close to him and he was just kind of saying, hey guys. And so nobody'd seen the lion just in front of us. And so I told everybody, let's go back to the car. So the car was like in between the two lines. And I was like, let's go back to the car, let's stay together. You never know.
Yeah,
Not like
exactly.
trying to like scare
No panic, no
people.
running.
It's like, yeah, but it's good to stay together. You never know. Well, and so we walk down to the car. As we get into the car, I'm like, hey, look up, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So this is kind of like this. And again, the lion didn't do anything. The males are super lazy, just lie there. And so again, like we don't know if he just roared because we were getting too close. He's just kind of saying, like, hey guys, get out of here. Or when he actually saw the other line, which is lower down, and just roared to the other line, we have no idea. But the experience of feeling that sound from.
Oh God. Yeah, I know. I mean, I measured the bite force of lions, and to be in the cage when they roar, oh my God, your everything vibrates, as you say. It
Yeah,
just
it's a special experience.
very powerful. Yeah. It just makes your hair stand on end. I had the same thing in Malaysia once with a tiger, you know,
Oh,
walking
yeah.
around, and there were some bushes moving, and there was like a huge flock of birds following whatever was moving in the bushes overhead. And then it was very, very close to us. And then we heard his roar, and yeah, it goes right through. It's like the ground is vibrating even. And then fortunately, it ran away. But that is a very primal fear
Exactly.
happens when that
And so
happens.
it's a thing about Africa that I like. You feel like you're part of the prey.
I see. Yeah.
In most other continents, like if you go to Asia, you go to South America, it's pretty friendly. There's not too many things out there that really can do you harm or eat you. But you're in Africa, it's a different ball.
That's where we're from. They evolved to eat us pretty much. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Anthony, I think you have some more stories there. We've just touched Africa today, so I'm gonna have to get you back on sometime in the future.
There's some funny South America stories as well, if you at some point want to hear them.
We totally do. We totally do. Amazing. Yeah, but Africa, I maybe I'll have to tag along at some point with you.
It's a special place, and so it's I really it's near and dear to my heart. Like it's amazing people, amazing biodiversity.
Is it your favorite place? Because you spend a lot of time in South America as well.
It's like every place is different, and I love going. But the most interesting thing for me was to be able to see tropical rainforest both in South America and Central Africa and in Southeast Asia, and to appreciate the differences in these forest types that have driven a lot of the diversity that you see actually in these different biomes. They're all tropical rainforests, but they're so different in the end.
Yeah, just
Well, being lucky enough to be able to go there and see these different forest types is just one of the things that I'll.
And surviving and being able to tell you the stories about it
Yeah.
afterwards is a bit of a bonus on top then.
Absolutely.
Anthony, thank you very much. If people want to follow you, find out what you're doing, read your papers, where should they go online or social media
I
or?
have my website. I have a website where I keep all my papers up to date. And then I have a Twitter account if people are interested. I'm not the most active Twitterer, but I do like to retweet papers of my students mostly and people doing interesting things. So, yeah.
Awesome. I'll put those on with the description of this podcast. And for now, thanks a lot. And I really hope we get you back for South America one day.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you,
All
Ari.
right. Bye bye.
Bye.